You ever wondered whether you belong in the family you were raised in? I think that thought really enters every child's mind at some time or other. And maybe they got me mixed up in the hospital and sent me home with the wrong parents. Or maybe I was really adopted and they never told me and I really belong to somebody else. That has happened, you know. Well, those of you who have been adopted and know it would probably testify this morning that it really isn't so bad. As a matter of fact, it has some distinct advantages. For example, if you were adopted, you know you were wanted. If you were just born into a family and had to stay there, you know, maybe you were an accident. Maybe they didn't want you. But if you were adopted, you know, in all probability, you were desperately desired. Beyond that, it's possible that if you were adopted, you were picked out from among others. I wasn't picked out. My parents were stuck with me, as far as I know. I mean, there I was, plop, and that ugly little thing was theirs, and they couldn't do a thing about it, you know. But if you were adopted, somebody picked you out. Being adopted is nothing to be ashamed of. As a matter of fact, it's an honor. Did you know that, spiritually speaking, we're all adopted kids? That's what the Bible teaches. I want you to see it in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. There it is. All of us believers. All of us believers in Jesus Christ have received the adoption of sons. That word adoption is used 5 times in the New Testament. All 5 in the epistles of Paul. And it comes from 2 Greek words. 2 Greek words put together. The first one is to place, and the second one is sons. The word literally means to place as sons. And that's exactly the way it was used in the ancient world of Paul's day. You see, in the Roman world, the legal position of a child was not much better than a slave. I mean, a child was considered to be the property of his father. Property. Chattel. He had no rights or privileges of his own. His father was entitled to any earnings he might make. His father could transfer his ownership either by sale or by adoption. And under certain circumstances, his father could even put him to death. That was considered to be acceptable under certain circumstances in the Roman world. Rights and privileges were considered to be for the mature. And a child had to be declared mature by his father before he could enjoy those rights and privileges. In other words, he had to be placed as an adult son. In that sense, he had to be adopted. Maybe he was born into the family, but he still had to be placed as a son. Now, in the Roman world, adoption could refer to the transfer of a child from one family to another, and was in fact used in that way. But it was also used to indicate this new position of a child as an adult son. It was a son placing, and that's the emphasis of our spiritual adoption. We get into God's family by birth, a new spiritual birth. It's called regeneration, born from above. That's what makes us children of God. But there is no time period of servitude under rules and regulations as children, you see, as there was in the Roman world. Immediately upon being brought into God's family and born again, we are placed as adult sons with all the rights and privileges of sonship. In other words, we are adopted. Whether male or female doesn't make any difference. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you are an adult son, a son of God. We are all believers, sons of God. Actually, our adoption was decided on before the foundation of the earth, and I think it's good to know that. That's how much God cared about us and loved us. If you'll turn over just a page or two to Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians 1 verse 4, you'll see that. He chose us in him, verse 4, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now watch, verse 5. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of his will. Think of it. Before God created the world, in eternity past, he picked you. to be one of his family, to place you in his family. He decided at that time he would confer on you all the rights and privileges of adult sonship. What a tremendous group of privileges they are, too. I'd like to share some of them with you today. There are probably more than this, but let's talk about five benefits of our sonship. The first one is found right here in Galatians chapter 4. It is a new relationship. Let's begin in verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave. See, that's what we say in the Roman world. Child was like a slave. Though he was master of all, potentially he was the master of the whole estate. And I'm reading the New King James Version this morning, for those of you who wonder about the change in words. But he's under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. See, that's the way it was for a child in the Roman world. Potentially master of the whole estate, but in reality nothing more than a slave who lived with rules and regimentation and restriction and repression. He had no rights whatsoever until his father decided otherwise. Now, we've all probably had periods in our lives when we felt like that. Every child, I think, feels at some time or other that he's just no more than a slave. It wasn't true, but that's the way you felt. But that's the way we were spiritually. See verse 3? And so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Before we met Christ, we were in bondage to whatever rules we thought we had to keep to make ourselves acceptable to whatever God or gods we thought there were. And if you drop down to verse 5, you'll see we were under law. We were in bondage to the law. Maybe we weren't Jews. That made no difference. God is going to judge us by the standards of his law. We were in bondage to it. No more. Not since our adoption. Look at verse 7. Therefore, we are no longer. You are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. We have a new relationship. Not the old immature relationship of a child who was no more than a slave, who lived with nothing but rules. No, no. But a relationship of an adult son, a relationship of love and trust and freedom. We are sons now, not slaves. Slaves no longer. Sons of God. When my sons were small, we had rules for them. They were expected to obey those rules. I mean, once in a while they got away with something, but generally speaking, we required them to obey. If they obeyed, they earned certain rewards. If they didn't obey, they earned other things, which were not quite as pleasant as the rewards. Now, I think they loved me. I would imagine, as far as a child can love his parents, they probably loved me. But I think they obeyed me more out of fear than out of love. I mean, they didn't like to get their bottoms spanked. And so, it was kind of a regimentation. It was a requirement. They had to do it. They had no choice. Now they're grown. I don't tell them what to do anymore. They don't have to obey me. They are free from my rules. They have a choice. And yet we have a good relationship with each other. A relationship of love and trust and freedom. I like to talk to my sons, and I think they like to talk to me. We enjoy fellowship with one another. And I find that they seem to enjoy pleasing me. If I ask them if they can do something for me, they usually try to do it. They might even change plans to try to do it. Because they seem to want to. Not because they have to. They don't have to. All they have to do is say no. I can't do a thing about it anymore. I mean, if I try, I'm in big trouble. But they seem to want to please me. Not because they have to. It's the relationship of adult sons. It's different, you see. Things changed when they grew up. That's why God adopted us. So we could enjoy a new relationship with him. He doesn't want us to cower in terror before him. He wants us to obey him, not just to avoid his discipline, but because we love him. He wants us to enjoy his fellowship and please him because we want to, not because we have to. That's one of the benefits of our adoption. We have a new relationship with God. The moment we trusted Jesus Christ as Savior from sin, we were brought into a new relationship, the relationship of adult sons. What a joyous relationship it is. But that's not the only benefit we have. Secondly, we have a new power. Look at Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior from sin, then you are God's son. And if you are God's son, Paul says in that verse, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart. God's Spirit lives in your heart right now. He's the Holy Spirit. We learn in the Bible He's the Spirit of both the Father and the Son. Right here, He is the Spirit of God's Son, and He's there. You don't have to try to get Him there. You don't have to try to grab Him as He goes by. He's there. He lives in your heart. I can remember some years ago walking past a tent where there was a meeting going on inside, and the flaps were up, and I just stood across the street and watched and listened for a few moments. Well, actually, probably 15 or 20 minutes. And the evangelist was telling people they had to pray through to get the Spirit. And everybody was trying to get the Spirit, and they were waving their arms, and they were waving handkerchiefs, you know, to try to get the Spirit. I don't know how that is supposed to get the Spirit, but that's what they were doing, to get the Spirit. Friend, look at God's Word, please. It says, if you are God's son, God has sent forth His Spirit into your heart. He's there. He lives there. And because He's the Spirit of power, you can have new power because He's there. You say power. Well, that's interesting. Power for what? Let's go back to Romans chapter 8, another key passage on the doctrine of adoption. And let's see what it says. Let me just read you the major verses here on adoption. Well, actually, it's mentioned again in the chapter, verse 23, but beginning with verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. If you keep disobeying God willfully and knowingly, He may take your life. That's what it says. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received, you ready for this? You received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. See, He's called the Spirit of adoption. This Spirit you have. He is the Spirit of adoption. He's the one that placed you as an adult son in the family of God. Now, what does the Spirit of adoption empower us to do in those verses? We'll go back up to verse 13 and you'll see. If you by the Spirit of adoption, if you put to death the deeds of the body, by the Spirit put to death the deeds of the body. There it is. He gives us power to overcome the lusts of the flesh and the temptation to sin. He gives us power to live pure and holy lives. One of the great benefits of our adoption is the presence of the Holy Spirit, who gives us power to live victorious lives, victory over sin. Some Christians say, I just can't stop sinning. You know, I can't stay out of bed with my girlfriend or my boyfriend. Right? I can't control my temper. I just can't stay away from the bottle. I just can't stop using that foul language. I just can't help myself. Maybe you can't in your own strength. But if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin, you have living within you right now the Spirit of adoption, who has power to help you overcome sin. And I'm convinced our yielding to sin is in direct proportion to our neglect of Him. You see, if we're cultivating a relationship with Him, spending time in His presence, getting to know Him better, thinking about the things He's taught us, much as a relationship between a father and an adult son, a relationship of fellowship and oneness, then you're going to think about Him when the temptation strikes, and you're going to depend on Him to help you overcome sin. See, if you're getting to know Him better and enjoying that relationship, then you'll be there, and He'll be there to help you, and you'll lay hold of that help. I'm convinced that our failure to understand the doctrine of adoption is one of the reasons we struggle so with temptation. Some Christians view God as an angry, selfish tyrant who thinks that we're nothing more than bratty kids who need to be wrapped along the side of the head once in a while. And He's just looking for some good excuse to give us a good rap, you know. Well, no wonder they don't want to get near Him. I mean, they want to get as far away as possible from a God like that. The farther away we get, the less we want to please Him, and the less we care about using the help He has to offer us. It would be kind of like a woman who had a terrible relationship with her father as a girl. And she just thought about nothing but getting away from home. She lived with constant criticism and rejection. That's all she felt. Seldom ever love. So she moved away as quickly as she could and used every excuse she could find never to go home and visit. And the rift between them grew wider and the resentment grew deeper and until she literally despised him. And then one day she fell upon very difficult times. And she needed him. She needed love from him. And maybe he was ready to give it now. Encouragement, affirmation, financial support. But do you think she's going to go back and ask him for help? Nobody can convince her that she needs to ask for help. Because when we feel alienated from people, we usually don't want their help. We hold them at arm's length. We're going to make it on our own. We don't need them. And that's the way it is with some professing Christians in their relationship with the Lord, unfortunately. That's the way they feel toward Him. They've moved away from Him because they don't understand who He is and what He's like. And they're not about to seek His help. They're not going to lay hold of the power that He has available. But when, on the other hand, we understand who God is, a God of love and grace and forgiveness and acceptance, a Father who enjoys our fellowship as adult sons and longs for us to enjoy His fellowship, then we are drawn to Him. And the closer we get to Him, the more we are able to depend upon Him for that power to overcome sin. That's why Paul wrote, if you by the Spirit, put to death the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. And that's real living. The result of drawing close to Him is a new power to overcome sin. You see, understanding the doctrine of adoption, our new relationship with God also provides us with new power. So there's a new relationship, adult sons, a new power, victory over sin. We'll see, thirdly, that one benefit of our adoption is a new intimacy. And we're still in Romans 8 now, and I'd like to read verse 15 again. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Now, Paul said much the same thing in that passage in Galatians. He uses that same term, Abba, Father. See, it's because the spirit of adoption lives in us, and because we understand the reality of our position as adult sons, that we can approach God freely and enjoy Him intimately. And that word Abba is the key, because that's a word of intimacy. It's a word for father, an Aramaic word for father, that indicates warmth and love and trust and deep emotion, intimacy. Jesus used it in prayer to His Father. He used it in the Garden of Gethsemane to express His own familiarity with His Father in heaven. And it pictures the same kind of closeness that we too may enjoy with our Father when we understand who we are. Adult sons, with all the rights and privileges of sonship. Why is it that we sometimes feel God is so far away and not interested in our problems? We try to pray and our prayers don't go past the ceiling and they're about as exciting as cold mashed potatoes and cold gravy, you know. We just don't feel the sense of His presence, and we don't feel welcome in His presence. Could it be that we've never understood this doctrine of adoption, never realized that God views us as adult sons whose fellowship He longs for? Maybe we've not understood that. You know, if we think God views us as little kids who aren't good for anything but getting in His way and getting on His nerves, we're not going to feel much like developing an intimate relationship with Him. Kids don't want to be close to adults whom they feel, whom they sense, view them as just bratty kids who get in the way. They just want to get away from them, usually. That's the real ornery, and they just want to give them a hard time. That's true, too, sometimes. But they don't want to be close to them emotionally, you see. If you think God doesn't want you for anything more but to lay his rules on you and to chew you out when you break his rules, you're not going to want to be very close to him. Yeah. Children don't want to be around us if that's all they think we're after. Somebody they can lay their rules on and chew out when they break them. And that's the way some children view their parents. Sometimes all the adults in their lives, you know. The great rule makers. That's what adults are. That's the way they view them, yeah. The great rule, and that's the way they view God. Sometimes our concept of God comes from our concept of our relationship with our own parents and other adults in our lives, unfortunately. So God is the ultimate rule maker. That's the way they view him. That's all they see in him. But when we understand how much he loves us and how much he longs for our company, our fellowship, when we realize that he views us as grown-up sons who are valuable to him, then our hearts well up with tenderness and gratitude. You know, it may even bring tears to our eyes at times when we think about this great truth. But when we understand how much he loves us and how much he longs for our company, our fellowship, when we realize that he views us as grown-up sons who are valuable to him, then our hearts well up with tenderness and gratitude. You know, it may even bring tears to our eyes at times when we think about this great truth. And our souls will cry out with a new intimacy, Abba, Father. A new depth of devotion and love. Do you remember the first time you sensed that your parents accepted you as an adult? A mature person in your own right, whose goals were acceptable and whose values and opinions were important. Now, maybe they never have. Some people have never had that privilege. They've grown up and their parents, even as 40 and 50-year-olds, still treat them like children. And that's unfortunate. Because that does color our view of God, unfortunately. But if you've had that experience, what did it do for you? Maybe there was a time of rebelliousness in your life, but when you realize your parents wanted to treat you as an adult person who was valuable in his own right and whose opinions were worthwhile, it drew you true to that person. And there had been tremendous turnarounds in kids' lives when parents began to view them in that way, you see. You see what it does? It builds intimacy. And that's the way we feel toward God when we understand our position as adult sons in his family. When we understand what the Bible teaches us, a new intimacy we may not have experienced before. What great benefit is ours because of this great truth of adoption. A new relationship, a new power, a new intimacy. Fourth, there is a new assurance. Look at Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now here he is again, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit himself. Called, in verse 15, the Spirit of adoption. And what's he doing this time? He is testifying to our spirits that we are, in truth, God's sons. Now, how he does that is a mystery to us. But he does it. I mean, there are times when we may not feel like we're part of the family of God. Maybe we feel alienated. Maybe we've let some sin slip into our lives. And we're saying to ourselves, if I'm really a Christian, how could I have done that? Or maybe God has allowed us to bear the consequences of our sin. Discipline, it's called. It's meted out in love, but still we're saying, how could God let this happen to me if I'm really his child? But through it all, God, the Spirit, keeps bearing witness, you see. That's what the verse teaches us. I can remember on one occasion, and I've probably shared this with you before, when my father disciplined me one time, I was about 10 years old, and he sent me to my room. And I felt it was unjust. Kids usually do, you know. And I was kind of angry and feeling sorry for myself and not feeling very much like part of the family at the moment. And I didn't mean to be ornery. I was just not thinking and frustrated. And I took out a penknife. And in the wooden windowsill in my room of a rented house, I did a little carving. It was during World War II, and you remember there were big V's, dot, 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 dash, the Morse code for V, for victory all over everywhere. Well, it ended up carved rather deeply in the windowsill in my room. And I have to tell you, when my father found that, I didn't feel any more like part of the family than I did before. I felt some other things, but not part of the family. But you know, if I had been thinking, I would have even understood that through that discipline, there was love. I didn't want to think about it. I mean, most often we don't when we're in that situation. But yet, he wouldn't have even cared what I did and how I grew up and whether I treated other people's property with respect. He wouldn't have even cared if he didn't love me. See, that's the way it is with the Spirit's witness as well. He's just always there, bearing witness with our spirits that we are the sons of God. Sometimes it's unanswered questions that confuse us. If I'm really God's son, why can't I understand what's happening in my life right now? And yet the Holy Spirit is there, bearing witness deep within our souls, and regardless of our perplexity, he tells us we're his child. We're his sons. We don't always have to know how he tells us we just, or how we are, why we are. We just are. We just know his Spirit is bearing witness with our spirit. You see, having the Spirit of adoption dwelling within us, ministering to us, testifying that we are in truth the sons of God, it's one of the great benefits of our adoption. A new and wonderful assurance of our standing with God. A new relationship, a new power, a new intimacy, a new assurance, finally, a new inheritance. There's a future facet to our adoption as well, and it's right here in Romans 8, verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Heirs of God. Think of it. Because we're God's adult sons, because we're part of his family, we have the promise that we shall receive a full share of God's inheritance. We are heirs of God, our heavenly Father, and co-heirs with Christ, our spiritual brother. Heirs of God. Paul said the same thing to the Galatians. He said, therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. That's Galatians 4:7. We read it. An heir of God through Christ. But what will our inheritance be? What are you going to get? $500,000? No. Verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. And not only they, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption. There's the future sense of our adoption, which is the redemption of our bodies. There's a lot involved in our inheritance, but here's one thing mentioned in this context on adoption. Paul says, we're part of a suffering creation and we live in suffering bodies. But someday all of creation is going to be delivered from its bondage to corruption, says in verse 21. And we're going to be delivered. Delivered from these old broken down houses in which we live, these bodies. And we're going to be given new bodies, just like our Savior's resurrection body. John says, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. New bodies. What a spectacular truth. Our adoption guarantees that someday we shall be just like Jesus. We're going to live in a body just like his glorified resurrection body. It's part of our inheritance as sons of God, the redemption of the body. I don't need to fret because this old body's wearing out and I can't do the things that I used to be able to do in it. As God's adopted son, I'm going to inherit a new one, and that one's going to be perfect. It's going to be a body like Christ's. A new inheritance. Isn't this a great truth? Because we've been adopted into God's family and placed as adult sons, we have a new relationship. Let's enjoy it. Let's come freely into his presence and enjoy his fellowship. We have a new power. Let's use it. Let's lay hold of the Holy Spirit who lives within us and enjoy that power. A new intimacy. Let's take advantage of it. Let's get as close to our Lord as we can. A new assurance. Let's just live in the light of it daily. And a new inheritance. Let's look forward to it with great expectancy. What makes it all possible? How could God adopt us sinful people? How could he do that? Turn back over to Galatians 4 just for a moment as we close. Paul didn't say this to the Romans in that passage, but he says it in this adoption context in Galatians 4. Verse 4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law in order that we might receive the adoption of sons. How did he do it? It was by the redemption Christ provided at the cross. That's it. At the cross, he delivered us from our bondage to law and sin so we could be established in our new position as adult sons in God's family. It was at the cross that our adoption papers were signed. It was at Calvary we became God's sons. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin, never believed that at that cross he paid for your sins, and put your trust, your total reliance upon him for your eternal salvation, we invite you to do that today. On the authority of God's word, you will receive your adoption as God's son with all the rights and privileges of sonship. It's yours. If you will acknowledge your need, your sin, and put your trust in Christ's sacrifice at Calvary's cross. Let's bow our heads together prayerfully. With heads bowed and eyes closed, may I ask you if you've made this decision? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Do you know for a certainty that you are a son of God? You can know that. You can walk out of this room today with that absolute, unequivocal assurance that you are God's son. Just in the quiet of your own heart, in these closing moments, would you say, God, I'm a sinner. I believe Christ died in my place, that he paid for my sin. Lord Jesus, I'm trusting you now as my Savior. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Give me everlasting life. Father, I pray that some may enter into this glorious relationship as sons of God, even in these moments. And that all of us who have made the decision and placed our trust in Jesus Christ and have been sons of God will learn to enjoy that position, take advantage of that intimacy that is afforded us and that power that is ours, that warmth and joy of fellowship. God, help us, we pray, to get to know you better, grow in our love for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.